Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is a Dharma Flamet Ches. The Dharma Flamet Ches, a larger daf, because Amud Aleph is mostly Agadah, so it does go relatively quickly. Can you hear me? For those on Zoom, I'm using a new speaker. Let me know if you hear, if it's clear, if it's worse. It's a new speaker that Mr. Bolter generously offered us. He thinks it will work better for this year to connect the people here in person with the people on Zoom. Okay, so we left off Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, a few lines down from the top of the page, third line. Amar Bachabrada. B'merav ha-pasla ha-hatam p'suka l'tos p'sukim. In Eretz Yisrael, they split the following pasuk into three separate p'sukim. V'yemar Hashem ha-meisha, hinenech yibar lecha be'av ha-anan. So we'll quote the Gemara, doesn't quote the rest of the pasuk, but we'll quote the rest of the pasuk, and we will split it up. So the pasuk continues. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to come to you, Ba'av Ha'anan. And the pasuk continues, Ba'avur Yishma Am B'darbi Mach. That's pasuk number two. And we have it as one big pasuk, but that's split, and that's split into pasuk number two. Pasuk number three is, V'gamach Yemin Al-Elam B'agamash Yestivri Ha'am El Hashem. So in Marav, they split this into three separate pesukim. The first discuss what's pshat? Why do they split it at Shul? This one pasuk into three pesukim. So the Shinu Gemara says a nice chap teretz. Basically, Gemara in the end of Megillah. The Gemara in the end of Megillah tells us that we make a siyum. As man as we know, we have simchas Torah once a year, and we make a at least have simchas Torah also, but we make a siyum on completing the Torah once a year, because we divide the parshas up over the course of 1 year. It used to be that it took them 3 years. Laning was much shorter on Shabbos. They used to divide the Torah up over 3 years. They would divide it up over 3 years. So they needed more psukim to fill all the aliyahs over the 3 years. So practically, it was just for practical purposes, they needed more psukim, and they split the psukim up. That's how the sheet learns. First, they have issue with this. L'chair, we have a klal called psukim le pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu, and on the paskina, we're not going to make psukim that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make. We can't make our own psukim. So because they had this issue with aliyahs, they would have split up extra psukim, a little bit of a chiddush, but that's the sheet's connection to Agamar. Mashal would say different, that the pasuk itself, the meaning, the word bavur, the word the place where the word bavur is, it only makes sense if you split it into separate psukim. Makes more sense as being split than being together. That's why it was split, not because of any other practical reasons for aliyahs or the like. Okay, says the Amram Chamar Machinina. Lahesha Meisha El Pesulah San Shaluches. Meisha Rabbeinu became wealthy. He became wealthy from the broken pieces of the luchas. What it really means is it's the not the broken pieces, the pesulahs. When you chipped away at the stone to make the luchas, it was a very, very valuable stone. And the chippings, the leftovers, that's what made Moshe Rabbeinu wealthy. Shenemar, psal lecha, shnei luchas avanim kreishen. It says, Hashem said to Moshe, carve for yourself shnei luchas avanim. Psalasan shnei lecha. We darshan that the psalas, the leftovers, should be for you, and that made Moshe Rabbeinu wealthy. I'm a base of Rechanina. Linen Terel Moshe Ozare, originally another the member from Beis Mechanina, a massive chiddush. The Gemara seemingly will fall off this chiddush, but even the Havmina, a pella of Havmina, that the Torah was only given to Moshe and Moshe Lazari. Torah was given only to Moshe and his children, not to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Pella will speak about even the Havmina, what that possibly could have meant. Torah wasn't given to Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, Ksav Lecha, Psalacha. It says Ksav Lecha, write for yourself, says Psalacha. Ma Psalasan Shalcha, just like the psalas, the leftovers belongs to Moshe. We just said a moment ago, that's what helped make him, that's what made him wealthy. Afksavan Shalcha, so to the writing of the Torah was after from Moshe. Whereas Moshe, Nagbam Tevis Ayin, Unas Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was Nag Tevis Ayin, and he shared the Torah with Klal Yisrael. Follow the Kasvayim, and therefore the Pasuk says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Tev Ayin, who Yivarech, the generous eye, is one that should be benched. But the point is that really the Torah was given to Moshe and his family, and he chose to choose to share with Klal Yisrael. That is the drasha, the opinion of Rabbeinu Bechanina. Asked the Mefarshim, what on earth does that mean? Torah wasn't given over to all of Klal Yisrael initially, even according to Rabbeinu Bechanina. Moshe chose to share with Klal Yisrael. But what does it mean? Torah was only given to Moshe and his sarai. What could that possibly mean? So the Mashal says, avada, always all mitzvahs, even, again, the Mashal's been kashas now on this member, but even before the kashas, what's the Havmina? So the Mashal learns that avada, all the mitzvahs are always given to the Yidden. The mitzvahs are given to all the Yidden 100%. What it means is that, at least initially, the Lima Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and his family. The actual fulfillment of the mitzvahs, Dabro Bnei Yisrael, all the mitzvahs given over to, they were taught, Akash Baruch Hu taught it to Moshe, to be teaching over further to Klal Yisrael. So the chiddush is that according to Rabbeinu Bechanina, the Lima Torah element wasn't for Klal Yisrael, simply the mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Moshe Klai Yisrael, but the limit there was only for Moshe Azari. Initially, Moshe Rabbeinu chose to share it with Klai Yisrael. What Shver in this Pshat is that we know what's one mitzvah that's considered connected to Kol Torah Kula. What's one mitzvah that's connected to Kulam? Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is connected to Kulam. So if giving the mitzvahs were always, according to Masha's learning, mitzvahs are always given to Klai Yisrael. It was just the limit of Torah wasn't given to Klai Yisrael. So how could that be? That itself is a stira. If Talmud Torah is connected to Kulam, Shant of Anecha, V'dibar Tabam, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is one of the quote, key mitzvah in the Torah, then, and Klai Yisrael have the mitzvahs, that means they do have the limit Torah. How do you spin that circle if you're going to say that Moshe and his children got limit Torah, and Klai Yisrael only got the mitzvahs? What do you do with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Chor Shtar Kara, on the Masha's Pshat? So several people say that Avada Torah was given to Klai Yisrael as well, not just mitzvahs, Torah, but Torah Metecha Ksav was given to Moshe. Torah for Klai Yisrael would have been Baal Peh. And Moshe chose to share the Torah Shebech Sav with Klai Yisrael. But Klai Yisrael always had Torah, it just would have all been Baal Peh, and Moshe chose to share Torah Shebech Sav. Either way, that's all, again, this is all the opinion of Rabbeisi, Rabbi Chanina, that only Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah with for him and his children. Asking Markash, Masar of Chizda, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was commanded, basically at the time, L'lamin Eslam, teach you. Isn't it pretty clear that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I was commanded to teach you the Torah? So the Torah was, it was a command to give over to Klai Yisrael? Answer the Gemara, Vaisi Tziva. You have to split it, make a comma. I was commanded to learn the Torah, to keep the Torah. Vani Lachem. And I decided to give it to you. You have to make a comment there and say, I chose to give it to you. The Laman Eslam was my choice, wasn't part of the Tzivri. That is the Gemara. Again, not a simple reading of the Pasuk, but that's the Gemara is Matcha the Pasuk, that it can still be Torah was given only to Moshe and his children. Says the Gemara further, see that I'm teaching you Chukim Mishpatim, like Hashem commanded me. Isn't it clear Hashem commanded me to teach you these Pesukim? Gemara says, no, this one's seemingly a little easier to deflect. No, Moshe Rabbeinu says, see that I'm teaching you Chukim Mishpatim, then Hashem commanded me. Not that He commanded me to teach you the Pesukim. He commanded me, Torah, the Torah mitzvahs, and I'm choosing to share that with you. So not a raya, not necessarily a raya against Rabbeis Mechanina. Ask the Gemara, but L'chura is a shtar karaya from over here. V'ata kisvulchem as a shir azayis. The Pesukim, that Sefer Devarim says, you should write, right, V'elach, you should write this shir azayis. It's written in Parshas V'elach about the shira is L'chura Parshas Azinu. But it says, you should write this shira and the lambda es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyam. It says very clearly, and teach it to Klai Yisrael. So you see, there was a tzivit to teach the Torah to Klai Yisrael. So as you're right, we have to agree that the shira for sure was commanded to teach Klai Yisrael, but the shira l'chud. Says Gemara, hashira l'chuda, dafka the shira, not anything else. The rest of the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu chose to teach Klai Yisrael on his own. It wasn't part of the commandment. Says Gemara, but it says the mantia li hashira zayis le'ed b'nei Yisrael. It says, in order that this should be, the shira should be an aid for B'nai Yisrael. It's pretty clear, how could the shira be an aid for B'nai Yisrael if it's not talking about the Torah in general? If there was no other Torah for Klai Yisrael besides the shira, then what would be the aid that the shira is going to testify on? The shira is an aid on the whole Torah, and the whole Torah is supposed to be in the Klai Yisrael. Gemara says, you're right. We have to retweak the memra. Ela papula ba'alma. What we mean is, avada Torah and mitzvahs were all given to, was given to Moshe to give to all of Klai Yisrael from the beginning. And what it means is this, the pilpul of being able to darshan up different drushes from the words of the Torah, to have new, to extrapolate new dinim or new ideas, that pilpul, kind of which starts to get into the world of Tesha Upeivin, that pilpul was given just to Moshe and he chose to share that with Klai Yisrael. But the basic Torah itself, the Torah, the mitzvah itself, was of course given not just to Moshe, to all of Klai Yisrael. So again, the Gemara ultimately falls off the Havmina, but it's a Pel of Havmina that the Torah was given only to Moshe and his children. Now, on this idea of Shira, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chafalaf tells us that even if a person inherits a Sefer Torah, there's a mitzvah to write on each individual to write his own Sefer Torah. Rambam explains that what's Pshat, where is there a mitzvah to write Sevitera, but the mitzvah really is the shira. The shira is Hazinu. But you're not allowed to write a section of the Torah without the whole Torah, and therefore you have a mitzvah to write the whole Torah. So Rambam seems to be learning the mitzvah to write the entire Torah is really kind of it comes out from a mitzvah to write the shira, and because I can't just write the shira, therefore I have to write the whole Torah. But it's not really inherently a mitzvah to write the whole Torah. That's how Rambam seems to play out this idea, this chiyuv to write a Sevitera. Shachzari is bothered that l'chayra, our Gemara clearly connects the Shira to the whole Torah. Because the Pesach says, L'man tiyah Shira Zayis le'ed l'bnei Yisrael. So why does Rambam, he's just by the way, why does Rambam come on to this two-step process? There's a chiv to write the Shira, you can't write the Shira alone, therefore the whole Torah. You should understand that writing the Shira means writing the whole Torah. Why did Rambam think it's a process? That's the question of the Shagas Ayah, and based on our Gemara. Okay. Says more further. Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiach Shechinah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mashiach Shechinah. He doesn't rest his presence, which in our context clearly means Nevi'as. Ella Al Gibur V'Asher V'Chacham V'Anav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives Nevi'as, he only is Mashiach Shechinah on someone that's a Gibur, strong, Asher, wealthy. Chacham is wise, V'Anav, and he is an Anav, he's humble. V'Kul V'Meshah, and we learn that all these attributes are requisite for Nevi'as from Moshe Rabbeinu, who possessed all these attitudes. All these attributes. Gibur Lechsev, V'Efesh Yisrael, Al Mishkan. The truth, before we go further into proofs to the attributes, what's Pasha Pshat? I understand Chachma can relate to Matthew Devias. Anivas is a very laudable character trait that can relate to Anivas. How does being strong or being wealthy relate to Nevias? Nevias is like a spiritual thing. It's in the mind, it's in the heart. How does being strong or being wealthy, why should that play a role in Nevias? So Rambam, in Hilchos Tzitzis, the Torah explains that what does Gibur mean over here? Eze Gibur, HaKoyvish Es Yitzray. The mission of us, what's a Gibur? Someone has self-control. Gibur here doesn't mean physically strong. It means someone who is strong-willed, who is able to control himself. He has self-control. That's what the Gibur means. And what does Asher mean again? Asher means Asmech B'chalkai. Someone who's content. He's satisfied in what he has. He doesn't desire. He has no jealousy for others or for missing things. That is an Asher. So that makes much more sense. That very understandable. A Gibur, a Chacham, Asher, Anav, they're all really spiritual. They're all mindless in behavior and characteristic. It makes sense they all can relate to the views. However, Kesavisha says, Agamar is Rais. We're going to look at the Agamar's Rais. Agamar's Rais clearly seems to be Rais about actual strength, about actual wealth and strength, not about Samech B'chalkai, and not about Kavish Yitzray. Actual wealth and actual strength. So you're back to the question, what's Pshat? And the other Shem Taka learn, that's what the Torah means, like the basic understanding of Agamar's Rayas, other Shem Taka learn, that's what it means. So according to that, we're back to the question, why should these malas be so relevant? So this Terry Tamima in Ba'midr Perkei Beis, I had this Machshava years ago, and then I found it actually in the Terry Tamima. He says a beautiful idea, very basic, that true anivus is having all the reasons to be a Balgaiva and still being an Anav. If a person, for whatever reason, is not blessed with any major talents, so he doesn't have much to be a Balgaiva about, it's still laudable to be an Anav, but it's not nearly the same Madrega as someone who is wealthy, who is strong, who is, I will actually throw him tall, the Gemara Sanhedrin actually references that a person, not Sanhedrin, Shabbos, the Gemara Shabbos, Tadi Beis, very similar to our Gemara, says in order to have Shechino and Nevias, you have to be tall. Leaves out Anav, it swaps out Anav for tall. Asher, Chacham, Gibur, and tall. Point is, but if a person has all these milas of wealth, strength, Chachma, and he's still an Anav, all that is a prerequisite to being a proper Anav. It shows you what a real Anav is. A real Anav is a person who has the milas and he's still Anav. So it's not Pshat that Gibur and Asher is the cause of Nevias, is a need for the Nevias. Rather, the Pshat L'chor is that it's all a way to demonstrate the level of Anava. And Chachma could be part of that Anava, being so smart and still being an Anav, or it could be the way a person achieves the Anivas, which is Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, a person who has proper Chachma, has proper Yiras Hashem, right? Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, so therefore that'll give him the Keichas to be a proper Anav, so it all goes together, but according to the Torah Tamima, it's really getting similar to the Rambam, where we're explaining this, again, we're learning strength and wealth are literal, not like a spiritual strength or a spiritual wealth. We're learning literally, but even the literal is in order to attain a mila, a spiritual mila, such as anava. Okay, very good. Fine. So there is a discussion: why tall? Same shalos as well as why wealthy and why strong? Why the Mar Shabbos puts in tall? So over there, the Drashas Aran writes that the reason why the Nevi'im, a prerequisite was to be tall, is because a Klal Yisrael was supposed to look up to the Nevi'im. They're supposed to look at, not just literally look up, because they're tall, look up to them in stature. And the derech of the Velt is, when people are tall, right off the, they have an automatic advantage that people tend to look up to them, right? Over time, people get used to people's heights, and then no longer is it necessarily a function of their respect for them. But on a basic level, a person who's taller always commands, is a certain level of automatic deference given to a person who's taller, and therefore Nevi'im in order, even though it's look, I don't want to say it's fake, but even though it's not necessarily earned, Nevi'im being tall is a milah because it helps put the Nevi'is on a statue, it helps put the Nevi'is on a higher plane, so it's a milah for that. Okay, how do we know the Meshmen was a Gibur Dachsiv, Ayifresh, Esau El Al Mishkan? He spread out the oil, the curtains over the Mishkan. So the Chara, the Gemara is referencing that there was some weight to this, it was heavy. But the Gemara is going to deflect and say, well, let's first see the right. Vamamar, Moshe Rabbeinu person, Moshe Rabbeinu spread out himself, and the length of the height of these boards were 10 amas. So if these boards were 10 amas, and Moshe Rabbeinu spread the cloth over, Moshe Rabbeinu must have been very tall to spread out the cloth. Now it's very geshmak, according to the Gemara in Shabbos Tali Beis, that one of the prerequisites of being a Navi is height. This would be a great riot. But the Gemara is bothered. Maybe he wasn't so strong. He was just very tall. Now, you could understand that, yeah, as tall as he was, you have to be strong to be able to spread the cloth out. But the Gemara doesn't use the answer. Amid Arach the Katan. Maybe he was very tall and skinny. Maybe he was not so strong at all. He was just very tall and lanky. Maybe he wasn't so strong. Elam and Hadikar. How do you know Meshavir is strong? For the following pasuk siv. For Espesh, Vashen Luchas, Haluchas, Vashachay Malshne, Yadai, Vashabrin. Meshavir said, I grabbed Luchas and I threw them down from my two hands and I smashed them. Vitanya, Haluchas, Arkan Shishav, Rachman Shishav, Amin Shleisha. The Luchas were six Tvachim by three Tvachim. They were very, very heavy. They were, it could be as heavy as 40 sa. They're very heavy. But that's actually, it's interesting. The Mefarish Tosfos, they learn the Raya is not so much from the simple fact that Moshe was carrying it and it was heavy. To me, that would be a simple Raya. They learn the Raya is from the fact that he threw it down. It was a stone with such force that it cracked. He broke Luchas. He must have been able to throw it with some velocity. That's where the strength is. So the holding in itself apparently wasn't enough for the Raya. The Raya was from the throwing it. Either way, you have a Raya that Moshe Rabbeinu was very strong. Asher, hang on, Asher. We had them earlier today. Psalacha. Says with carving out the luchas, psalacha, psalos, and shalacha, the leftovers from carving out the luchas should be few, and those stones made Moshe Rabbeinu wealthy. The first one actually asked, but Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi long before psalacha. Psalacha was when he carved out the luchas. He was a Navi well before that. If you need Ashiris to become a Navi, we're going in a circle over here, he only became Ashiris later. How does that work? Bam kasha lechera, bam kasha for the first one. They want to suggest that, wants to say, look at Rashi and Chumash, who says that Moshe Rabbeinu by Psalacha became an Asher Harbei. What's Rashi and he became an Asher Harbei? He already was an Asher before, he became Asher Harbei with the Psalacha. Again, it doesn't answer the question. Agamar still showing Uriah is Asher, and you bring Uriah to Ashir's Harbei, you're not being right to the original Ashir's, but that's maybe Rashi's by Varni. So Rebecca learns, similar to we had an idea from Rambam, that what does Asher mean? Asher means, is Asher, Hasimeh B'chalakai. Similar. What does Asher mean over here? Asher b'deya. He was Asher with his deya, right? That's what Asher really means. Of course, that was Pasha, the Meshpinu, was Asher b'deya. We don't really need to write to that. The Mar now brings, in addition to Asher b'deya, he was also an Asher in actuality, in wealth, because he got the Psalacha, but the Nevi'is prerequisite is Asher more in knowledge, and Moshe Rabbeinu always had that. The Mar doesn't have to be right to that. That's one answer. Masha says that no. Masha says, big Yisrael, this will be relevant in the next piece, Gemara as well. Masha says, there's different types of Nevi'is. A person can get a sporadic Nevi'is, even if he's not meeting all the criteria of Chacham, Aishir, Anav, and an Ashir, I'm sorry, and a Gibor, he doesn't have all these attributes, criteria, he can get Nevi'is. But Nevi'is, Bekvi'is, consistent Nevi'is, right? Mashal Shkina Alav, Kosh Baruch Hu, rest of Shkina Moshe, consistently, that's when you need these prerequisites, and that's the Mar saying, that Moshe Rabbeinu, even Moshe Rabbeinu had Nevi'is till now, but it was the same level. Once it was Psalacha, he had Nevi'is on a more Kvi'is, Dika level. Okay. Chacham, how do we know Chacham? Rav Shmuel Amar Tavayim. Rav Shmuel will say, Chamishim Sharbina Nevoilam. There were 50 Sharbina in the world. The Kulam Nitin Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu reached all them besides for Chasrachas. He reached 49 levels of Chacham, not the 50th, which is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Batzmai has. Shinemar V'tachsuya Ma'amalikim. Moshe Rabbeinu was missing a drop from godliness. Anav Tachsiv Vish Moshe Anav Ma'id. Anav is black by Pasal in the Chumash. Moshe was exceedingly humble. Moshe Rabbeinu was Anav Ma'id. Okay. On Chacham, the Gemara says, Basra, Nafid Beis, the Gemara says, that Miyayim Shechar Beis Migdash, Nitlu Nevi'is. Nevi'is is taken from Nevi'im, and it was Nasnu L'Chachamim. Nevi'is is taken from Nevi'im, and given to Chachamim. Which sounds like, till that point, you had Nevi'im who were obviously Chachamim, but Nevi'im also that were Chachamim. And once the base mission was destroyed, the Nevi'ah's book was given only to the hands of Chachamim and no longer presided by people that weren't Chachamim, which that's the basic understanding of the Gemara. That's how Rashi learns. Ramban asks, what on earth? Agamar is saying very clear, in order to have Nevi'ah's, you have to be a Chacham. So what does it mean, till the base mission was destroyed, everyone had Nevi'ah's, so to speak, even Chachamim? And after the base mission was destroyed, it was only by Chachamim. You always have to be a Chacham to have Nevi'ah's. So you go to Marsha, it's not fair. Marsha already said that Nevi'ah's Bekvi'ah's needs these criteria. Off and on Nevi'ah's, that could be anyone, even without these criteria. So that could be a simple answer for Rashi. For Ramban, changes Pshat the whole Gemara because of Agamar. He learns that what the Gemara means as follows. That before the base mission was destroyed, there was Nevi'ah's Bechlal. After the base mission was destroyed, there no longer was Nevi'ah's. You know what there was? Chachma. It's like Nevi'ah's. A Chacham was major foresight, who was able to see what, you know, three steps down the road, you know, six plays later in the chess game. He sees what's going to happen in the future. He sees the ramifications of people's ideas, actions, their plans, and he gives advice based on that. So that's like Nevi'ah's. That's what it means. The Nevi'ah's stock are gone. Nevi'ah's is taken away, and it was given over this concept of being able to, you know, give advice and talk about the future was given over to Chachamim, but not Pateras Nevi'ah's. That's how the Ramban learns the Gemara over there in Bavastra, to shtim with Agamar, that Chacham is a prerequisite for Nevi'ah's, so it can't be that there was ever a time that it was not Chachamim who had Nevi'ah's. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Kol HaNevi'im Ashir Mayu. All the Nevi'im were wealthy, Menalan. We'll make three examples. Maisha, Meshmuel, Mamas, sorry, four examples. Umiyayda. We have four examples of Nevi'im that had Ashiras. We'll use these four, prove that they are wealthy, and extrapolate from there that all Nevi'im were wealthy. Maisha Dechsev, Maisha Dechit says, Lecham Rechanan, Sasi, I never took one donkey from them. Now, what's the situation? What was he saying? Ibla Agra, he never took it without making a payment. Lafuki, Mandashakul Agra, he's coming to say, I'm not a Ganav. I'm not a Ganav. Maisha been a leader of Klai Yisrael. He's patting himself on the back. I was never a Ganav. Shkayak, we would hope the leader of Klai Yisrael wasn't a Ganav. El Dafil Bagra, what it means is, I never took a donkey from Klai Yisrael, even with rent. I never took paying rent because I always had my own means. I never had to take from anyone Klai Yisrael. Says the Gemara. Adraba, Tilbishim Danihu. Maybe he never rented a donkey because he couldn't afford to rent a donkey. How's that prove that he was wealthy? Yeah, it says he never rented a donkey, but maybe because he couldn't afford it. Ella Mim Psalacha. Go back to the drasha right before. Psalacha, Psalasan, Shel, Yehei, Shelcha, we darshan the Psalas, to my Shavinu, from the Luchas, and that made him wealthy. Shmuel Tziv, Hinani Anu, Ki Neged Hashem, Veneged Mashichai, Eshar Milakachti, Vechamar Milakachti. Shmuel makes a declaration that say an eid is about me, that in the Neged Hashem, that I've never taken anyone's ox, I've never taken anyone's donkey. Again, Ibechinam, taking it for free, Lafukaman Shaka Bechinam, he's coming to make a major declaration, I've never stolen anyone's donkey or ox for free. Lafu Besachar, even Mischar, he never took it. Ask more the same question. Duma, Ani, Avi, maybe it's because he was poor. Dani Avi, he was poor, he couldn't afford it, that's why he never rented it. Elamehacha, Ushivasa Ramasa Kishamese, it says that Shmuel would go year, every year, he would go to various places, Beisel, Gilgal, Mitzvah, and he went to all these different places, and then he returned to Ramah, but the pasuk ends off, Kisham Beisai. Vamarav Rava says, not just Sham. Sham means in all those places that we just listed, Beisel, Gilgal, Mitzvah, and of course, in Ramasa. In all those places, he had a house. Kamak Shal Beisai, Ema, wherever he went, he had a home there with him, meaning he had a full set-up house. All these places, obviously, he was wealthy to possess that many different dwellings. Amarava. That which is said about Shmuel in terms of wealth is greater than that which is said about Maisha. Why? I never lifted one of the chamarim. Which means even for payment, I never took one of the donkeys. By Shmuel, there's a passage that even when they wanted to give it to him for free, he didn't take it. And they said, you haven't stolen from us, but you also haven't taken in our agreement, right? Tzisanu, we wanted to give it to you, and you didn't take it. So by Shmuel, it was a higher level than even by Maisha. Maisha describes, I never had to rent their stuff. Shmuel, even they wanted, they were pushing him, please take it. We want to give it to you. We want to rent to you. He still didn't take it. Amos Chesiv, he's wealthy. It's like it says, Vayan Amos Vemer El Amtzei Le Navi Anechi Le Ben Avi Anechi Achbinish Kenavi. I'm not even the son of a Navi. Ki Baiker Anechi Ubeilis Shikamim. I'm not a Navi, right, or the son of a Navi. Rather, I am someone that watches the cattle. And I'm a Baila Shikmim, I examine the sycamore trees. Kintagaresif, Ari Mari Gazi, Anava Shikmim Li Bishvelta. What he was saying was, I own cattle and I own a lot of sycamore trees. Basically, Amos had a lot of real estate and a lot of property, so that demonstrates his wealth. Yaina, lastly, Yaina was wealthy. Yaina, when he was running away to Tarshish. HaKadosh Baruch gave him a command, and he wanted to run away from Hashem's command, so he ran to the boat to go to Tarshish. So he went to the ship, and it says, Pitin Schara, he paid the wage, and he went to Meiridba. He wanted to go and he didn't want to wait. So he told the captain, I'll pay for all the tickets, all the travelers on the boat, whoever you normally take on this boat. I mean, there were people on the boat that threw him off the boat when it got all bumpy. But the point is that the captain would have waited for till the boat filled to leave. He said, I'll pay all the remaining passengers' payment and just let's leave now. Amar Ramanus, Schar Shasfina Havi Arbas Alafim Dinri Zava. And Ramanus taught, how much was the schar for the entire ship? 4,000 dinars of gold. That's how much money he had to pay just to run away. We see he was very wealthy. Amar Bechanan. We had a member before we started off with that initially Torah was taught only to Moshe and his family, and Moshe chose teach Kaya, so we asked many kashas, and we flipped it. We said ultimately the certain pilpul drushes were only to Moshe, but Torah was given to Kaya, but now related to that original teaching, initially when Torah was taught by Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching Moshe the Torah, and he'd forget what he learned. He'd learn and forget it in the 40 days of Jemayim. Ashenin le matana, until Torah was given by matana shemar v'itin amayisha kechaleis l'davik itay. When he finished speaking to him on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe v'itin his matana. Even though he learned in Shemayim and he harif to learn the Torah, ultimately the satzlach in learning Torah was a matana. It was a matana that fits very well. But the famous Gemara we had in a couple places, Shas, Yagati, Mitzasi, right? The Megillah, Yagati, the person says, Yagati, and I was meyageya, umitzasi, and I was successful, and I found Taman, believe him. If he says Yagati, then Mitzasi, I'll Taman. But on the words, Yagati, Mitzasi, I was meyageya, I shvitz, Mitzasi, the Mepharshim pointed out a beautiful diak. It doesn't say Yagati, Yitzlachti, and I was successful. Umitzasi, Mitzasi is Lashem Mitzia. Even after Al Miyageya, it's still a Mitzia. You need to say Atta Shmaya, it's still a Yitzia. Even after we put in our Shvitz, we put in our efforts, we get up at the crack of dawn to learn Daf Gemara, still, our success in that learning, like everything else in life, still requires Shiat Shmaya. It's Yagati Mitzasi. And that's clear, some of this idea that the Torah was given to even Meisha, and the Helga Meisha, the Chacham, 49 levels of Chachmas, Aisha, Giber, all the Milas, Torah only. He remembered it and it stuck with him only b'matana, says the Mishnah. Back to Nedar. The Zonah says as Banav Ruvim as Nedar that he cannot give any benefit to Shimon. The halach is he's still allowed to give Hana, he's allowed to give Mezainas to Shimon's wife and children. Afa Pishachai Mezainas, even though that Ruvim is Chayev in his wife and children's Mezainas, since he's giving it directly to the wife and children, not the guy himself, it's Mutter. If this sounds like Chanan Sheet from a couple of months ago, it's like Mavriach Ari, I'm paying the debt of the guy who I can't give it out to, I'm paying his debt. Chanan says Mutter, Mavriach is Mutter, Chanan says Aser. This Mishnah sounds like Chanan, sounds pretty clear, and this is like Chanan, that's the basic idea, understanding the Mishnah, and indeed, that's clearly how Rambam learns. Rambam puts together this Mishnah, Zanah Sesh Yizbanav, with the idea of the last Mishnah, of paying his chayiv, and it's all going together with the idea of being Mavriach Ari. Rambam puts together, it sounds like it's not according to Chanan. However, the other Rishayim, Ran, Rash, Matasis, all come up with Malchim to say no. That we know the Chama argue on Chanan, and we don't want to say the Stam Mishnah is like Chanan. Rambam's okay, because if one Stam Mishnah is like Chanan, even though Chanan is like a Das Yachid against Chamim, we're clearly passing. If you have Stam Mishnah like a Das Yachid, we had a couple of ago, we had it with Rabbi Eliezer, so if a Stam Mishnah like a Das Yachid, we pass like a Das Yachid, and therefore Rambam's okay to have this Mishnah be Chanan, and we pass it away. However, Ran says no. We're talking over here that the fellow is giving the Mezainis to the wife and the children, not the terrorist paying the other guy's chayiv, not paying the chayiv who has another guy's paying his chayiv, but he's doing it b'teiris stam, someone that needs food. Forget about the nether he has with that fellow. Is a nitzrich on the street, you give him food, you give him money. This woman and her children, they need food, so he stopped giving money to a nitzrich, nothing to do with satisfying the husband's chayiv, and therefore it's a level below Mavriach Ari. Similarly, the Rashi says with Kimateris Matana, similar idea, it was a Matana to the wife and children, it wasn't with any das with regard to the husband. And Taisha says, a little bit of a chiddush, because tomorrow the Mishnah says clearly, husband is mechuyev and mezainis. Taisha says, yeah, but the money that this guy's giving is for the extras over the mezainis. So even though husband is mechuyev and mezainis to the wife and children, this guy's giving extras above the base level chiyuv. Again, it's not the simple reading of the Mishnah, but he's giving extras, and that's why even the Rabbanon would agree over here it's permissible. But Enoch Rami, if the guy was coming to pay the chiyuv of the husband, he's coming to pay the wife mezainis in lieu of the husband, it would be a problem. We did have a different idea that if someone lends the wife money, directly and says, here, I'm giving you money to get your mezainis, and then when the husband comes back, she collects the husband, and then she pays this guy back, that will also be okay, because he's not paying the husband's slave, adrav, he's lending the wife money to give the husband, and that's similar to what these Rishonim are saying over here, how they want to make this mishnah shtim, even not like Chanan. Okay. Yeah. When we say that he shouldn't feed the behema, the behema of the fellow he made an eder against, sai behema tmeya, sai behema tayra. Abbas Aimer, no, zanas tmeya, but zanas tayra. Abbas says, he could feed the behema tmeya, but not the behema tayra. Amr lay, ma behema tayra. Either way, giving food to this guy's property, just asks us, what's the difference? Abbalu, Abbas said back, shah tayra nafsha shemayim v'gufa shaloi. A tayra animal, the nafsha of the shemayim, great carbon, and the gufa is the person that you're able to eat the body, and therefore giving you food is directly benefiting the person. Whereas Utmeya, Tapa Bambez, Nafshe, the Gufa, Lashmayim, Utmeya, both the Nefesh and the Guf, Lashmayim, meaning the person gets no benefit from the fattening up because he can't eat it, so therefore feeding it doesn't really help him. Armalai, what are you talking about? Utmeya, Nafshe, Lashmayim, the Gufa, Shalai, even my Utmeya, Nefesh is Lashmayim, but the Guf is Shalai, you know why? A person could feed his non-kosher animal to his dogs. He can make his dog satisfied. He could sell it to Goyim. And in both those scenarios, a fatter, more geshmak animal is more valuable. So feeding his animal the stomach is beneficial for the fellow. And therefore, if he has mudra ana, he cannot feed even Meimet Tmeya, according to Chachamim, who argue on Rabbi Lazar. I see that this speaker, by the way, it died. I'm not sure if it was working in the beginning. I don't know if it worked at all, but it died. So right now we're back to regular. This sounds good? Okay, good. Says the if one is madar ana from his friend, mutal asila bitay, he's mutter to marry off his daughter to him. Now, what does that mean? Habiba Rab Chani Rab Zera. What's the case we're talking about? Idem b'shem zavia kala asur nechassan is the case where the nechassim of the father-in-law, the father of the bride, is asur nechassan. Harry Meisle Shifchal Shamshay. How could he talk him let his daughter marry this guy? He made an end not to give this guy benefit, and then he's giving him. This is a very crass lashon. He's giving him a shifcha to take care of him. Meaning, but he's giving his daughter who's going to tend to his needs. That's a major ana. Ella. What must be the case is like this. The nechassim of the chassim was asur on the father kala, and we're saying he's still let him marry the father's daughter. So that's a chiddush that you would think that maybe marrying his daughter is a huge favor for the father. It's always hard to marry off daughters, and marrying the daughter is a favor to the father, and because the son-in-law cannot give it out to the father, it should be asur. Kamash one, that's mutter. Ask the mark, Dilma Zuamru. The mar says, we already have a bigger chiddush. Zan es ishtay ves banav. In the Mishnah, we have that if Reuven cannot give it out to Shimon, Reuven can still go and be mazin, give mezainus to Shimon's wife and kids. So if Reuven's allowed to give mezainus to Shimon's wife and kids, even though he's also to give hanot to Shimon, certainly when he marries the daughter, where now it's his own wife, it's no longer, meaning the daughter is a chiv for the father's support, calls by the daughter's in the father's possession. Once the father marries her off, it's not the father's chiyuv. And we're saying that a person who makes an end against his friend can still support the friend's wife, and even though it's the friend's obligation, and that's fine. So if he can be mazin, even the wife when they're of his friend, when they're married, certainly when he marries the daughter, should be fine. Says Gemara, no. La'ilam, you're right. So the Gemara's question is, so if that's the case, why is it a chiddush that a son-in-law who has a nether not to give benefit to the father-in-law can marry the daughter? What's the chiddush? The first one discussed, before we go further, what type of kedusha do they do? If you're doing kedusha kesef, and the kesef goes to the father, wouldn't that be a benefit? So some say Eirech Rami. We're talking about whether they did Kedusha Bia or Kedusha Ikshtar, not Kedusha Kesef, because that would be Asur. Others say no. We've spoken in the past. Anything which has a market value, a market rate, paying for that is not called any side getting anah. If it's something which is difficult to sell, then the seller gets anah. If it's something which is difficult to get a hold of, then the buyer has anah. But it's Zvina Mitziyai. A middle of the road Zvina, if as long as you pay market price, there's no benefit. So you can even do Kesef, and that as long as you do the regular normal amount of Kesef, that wouldn't be called anah. That's what others learn. But the Kedusha could be the Kesef. Either way, we're saying, not that it's not true, but the son-in-law marrying a daughter of a man who he can't give anah to is it's true, but it's not such a chiddush, because Amish already has a bigger chiddush. So rather, what was the chiddush that Rav Yitzchak Ben Chananya, the name of Huna, was saying? Go back to your first case. The chasam of the father of the bride with Asur the chasam. But we're saying he's allowed to let his daughter marry when she's already a begaris and it's her own das. Meaning, if it was the father giving her over, that would not be anah, and he can't do it. But since she's old enough to get married on her own, she's already a begeris, and she's already a badass, then the father can give her over into marriage, and it's not considered a benefit from the father-in-law. You'd say that still, that since the father gives his wife, gives his daughter advice, and he's giving her over, then maybe it's called anah, kamash one, since she's already a bardas, it's up to her, and we don't see enough father time. Hachi, hamudr, hanamechaver, one makes a neder not to benefit from his friend, aslas lepitai, it's usher to marry his daughter to him, avamasiya pita begaris medaita, it's us to marry his young daughter, who he's affecting the kedushin that he can't do. But to marry his older daughter, who's already begaris, already has her own das, then anachrami, that is permissible. Amar Yaakov. Hamadir b'nai l'talmud Torah. A person who's madir his son for talmud Torah. Now, what does that mean? There's a mechalikas nefreshim. Exactly what that means. Ramban learns what this means is the father was madir himself. He wanted a son to just focus on learning and not focus on anything else. So he's madir himself from benefiting from the son. He said, "I don't want to be a distraction. I don't want you to be busy with me. I don't even want to benefit from you. I want you to just be fully dedicated to learning Torah." That's how the Ramban learns. So he's madir his son for the purpose of talmud Torah. Others learn it means no. Father wasn't happy with the level of commitment that the son had to his talmud Torah, and the father was madir the son that I'm making neder. You can't benefit me unless you step up your game and learn more hours, accomplish more in talmud Torah. So it's a neder because of talmud Torah. The list is a little bit more funny, quite upshot, but it was because of talmud Torah. Different to the Malachim. Either way, according to Rabban, it's a little bit fair because you make a neder because he wants his son to be fully dedicated to Torah. Make a neder that his son, he can't benefit from his son. What about the son's obligation of kibbutz avim? They discuss what happens to the son's mitzvah kibbutz avim if he takes away that mitzvah. The son can't do anything from now. Okay, mutl malas lay chavish amayim aladik lay esner. So the Gemara says a big chiddush. Even in the case where there's why we're picking this case, as opposed to any other mother or not, but it's interesting, but. We're saying even as an isser of anah, madr anah, certain things are still mutter. Certain things that anah are so small that it's not considered included in the prohibition of giving anah one to the other. So what are these examples? Mutter lamas echavis shamayim. He can still fill up for him a jug of water, or l'shap l'hadlik l'asener. The son can still fill up the lamp for the father. He also can still roast for him. He could be sailor for him a small fish. These are very small hanas, and therefore it's mutter. So it really depends how you learn. Is the pshat that's very small for its mutter, or if you go back to the way we explained the Gemara before, that the father wanted the son, let's call it the Ramban's Malach, to be completely committed to his learning. So what we're saying is that makes more sense why we're saying dafka over here. What we're saying is that because these are such small disturbances from his learning, that's not what the father had in mind when he was madra anah. He was madra anah l'talma taira, only things that would distract from the learning. Filling up a jug, roasting a small fish is very quick. Lighting an air is very quick, and therefore it doesn't detract from the learning. All normal people, they get up for a minute, they break, they don't sit and learn 24 hours a day, and therefore this wouldn't be a steer to that nether, the purpose of the nether, and therefore you can give the father that benefit. Here we see that it's not just about the father and the son of Talmud Torah. It seems to be a general idea of very minimal hana being mutter. If a person makes a nether to gets given benefit to his friend, he can still give him a cup of shalom to drink. Mayni, what is cup of shalom? Hachatagimu keish shal beis avel, the keish beis avel. Rabbi, they say it means the keish shal beis amechatz, the keish of the bathhouse. You give the person a drink, a cup of hot water when he exits the bathhouse. But the point is, a minimal hana was never included in a mutter hana. If leos an es pemtai, and you shouldn't feed his animal, whether it's Tara or tummy. Rabbi says dafka tara animal you can't feed, tummy you could feed. Tanya shuv ish uz aimer zan avdus shvchais vekanim. The person who makes a nether against giving his friend benefit can still, he's also a nether, but he can still feed his friends avadim, shifchus, and shifchus ganim. But he shouldn't feed the behemoth, sai behemoth tamea, or even behemoth, even behemoth tamea, and certainly not behemoth terah, he shouldn't give to feed. My taima, avadim, shifchus, and ganim, the machrusar avidan, evid kanani, shir kanani, they eventually are destined to be freed. Nechira literally means, nechira means actually to be torn, right? Animal, before they used to do shechita, they used to do nechira, which means kind of like tear it apart. It was a way they used to tear apart animals. What it means is that eventually they're going to be separated from the owner. They're going to be, yeah, they're not going to be by the owner forever, or others kind of switch the girsa and understand it to mean that the food they get doesn't directly benefit the owner. If the Eved or the shifka, obviously they need to eat, but the fact that they're a little fatter, they have a little extra food, is not going to help the owner. The meat on the animal helps the owner, that's what it means. Behema, the petuma, obviously, the behema is destined for petuma. So whatever the wording by the eved shifka is, the fattening them up is not a milah, whereas fattening of the behema is a milah, that's why by behema, site be a site taira, is going to be usher, whereas by the eved shifka is not going to be usher. A person can give that benefit. Have a wonderful day, wonderful Shabbos. Daf will be Mitzvah Shem on Mitzvah Shabbos at 7 p.m.